After the FBI arrested militants who had occupied a wildlife refuge in Oregon earlier this year, the government hoped the movement would die down. Many of the leaders went to jail. The feds promised to continue the crackdown. But the movement didn't die down. Things are still tense between the government and a small, dedicated group of ranchers in the West over grazing rights on federal land. NPR's Kirk Sigler reports from southern Utah.
Talking with Stanton Glebe is like dipping into a long-running commentary about the state of the country.
You know that bunch of Beatles that come ashore in the 60s? That's probably before your day, wasn't it? And they had that long hair on them.
He's hardly a modest, keep-to-himself rancher.
And that's the same bunch of buggers that spit on our people coming out of Vietnam. That herd of hippies. That herd, you know, what they've turned into is that bunch of environmentalists. They don't want to work. They don't believe in God. And they'd like to take every right we got.
Glebe has spent his whole life raising sheep and cattle. His hands are swollen from years of ranch work. It's shearing season in this collection of muddy pens. He leans on a wooden cane, which he also uses to prod the lambs up a ramp into a shearing shed. Glebe wants to talk about where these sheep spend most of their days, though, grazing above us on the slopes of Mount Dutton.
That's what we're, this thing's about, range rights. You see that since the 1800s, our families run livestock.
Glebe says environmentalists are winning a battle to remove all livestock from Bureau of Land Management and Forest Service lands in the West.
That's who we're actually fighting with. They've indoctrinated and got into this BLM and Forest Service. A lot of them are right up in the head positions now.
So you need to know that Stanton Glebe is like your typical Western rancher in one important way. He doesn't own much land himself. There's no room to run livestock in this tiny sliver of a valley. So he leases huge tracts of federal land that surround his place. This was an arrangement that worked out pretty well for ranching families like his for generations, and the federal government was there to help, maintaining, building roads so ranchers could access their stock. It helped with irrigation projects, building fences.
Look at this little valley right here. When I was a kid, there was, let's see, one, two, three, four gas stations in it, two cafes, three cafes, a furniture store, a car dealership.
That was before the timber mills closed, and most of the mines, too. Then came President Clinton, designating the massive Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument. And that forced the BLM to focus a lot more on the environment, recreation, not just cows. The amount of public land available for grazing has been cut a lot, like more than half since Glebe was a kid.
What would you do if you're losing everything you got? Would you stand fight, or would you roll over and play dead, I guess? And that's what...
This is the kind of talk that's typical from a small, tight-knit group of ranchers mainly clustered here in the remote Southwest. They believe the Constitution doesn't allow for the federal government to control Western land. Most are conservative, self-described, devout Mormons who are allies with Nevada rancher Cliven Bundy. The Bundy patriarch and several of his sons are now in jail facing a litany of felony charges, including conspiracy and assault on federal officers for leading armed standoffs in Nevada in 2014. And earlier this year at the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge in Oregon. The government is concerned about the potential for more conflicts, mainly because of the death of one of this movement's leaders, Lavoy Finicum, in Oregon. This eyewitness video shows Finicum in a tense standoff with the FBI and Oregon state troopers at a roadblock in January.
You understand? I'm going to go meet the sheriff. You back down or you kill me now. Go ahead. Put the bullet through me.
And moments later, they did. Lavoy Finicum's widow has called this an assassination. Some people think her husband was a martyr. She's planning to sue and could face jail time herself. She's now the focus for supporters of this movement. To get to the Finicum's ranch, I drove 3 hours across the Utah state line into the high desert of Arizona. You know you're close when you pass through the Kaibab Indian Reservation. And just before the sign marking the entrance to the polygamous colony Colorado City, you turn right onto a rutted-out red clay dirt road. Here is a modest brick ranch house with a long porch.
This is the family ranch here. His father's ranch.
Jeanette Finicum is alone, still grieving the loss of her husband 4 months ago.
What did he stand for? He standed for the Constitution in its original intent. He stood for freedom, and...
She's wearing a black shirt with the couple's cattle brand printed on it, LV for Lavoie. Inside the house, his cowboy hats are still hanging on the rail, his chaps by their bed, where he left them before he drove to Oregon.
Everything around here is reflects my husband. Everything. So, he had every intention on being home.
Now Jeanette is the one making the decisions about whether she'll continue defying the federal government like her husband did. He had stopped paying his grazing leases.
You have to look at the bigger picture and the liberties that are being encroached upon. And I think that that's why he took a stand.
She hasn't decided what she'll do yet.
I've already been told by many different people who have spoken with other officials that I better watch myself.
The family is starting their spring branding in the meantime, and the cows, they continue to graze illegally on federal land near here. Finicum knows the choice of whether she stays in ranching may not be hers to make.
Yeah, I stand to end up just like everyone else.
Meaning what?
Arrested, property taken.
For now, federal authorities are not saying whether they'll make any more arrests, but it's clear the tensions that led to the Oregon standoff still run deep. Kirk Sigler, NPR News, in southern Utah.
This Monday is Memorial Day, when the country remembers those who died while serving in the armed forces. And for the program, we'd like to hear from you about the people you're remembering on this holiday. A family member, a friend, a neighbor, anyone you knew who died in the line of duty.
Tell us about them, how you knew them, when and where they served, what that service meant to them and to you.
You can reach us at the email address nprcrowdsource@npr.org. That's all one word. Send us their stories, and we'll share some of them on Memorial Day.
Again, that email address is nprcrowdsource, all one word, at nprcrowdsource.org.